This is Marie Abrams. The date is November the 18th, 1977, and I am interviewing Naomi Weil.
I, Naomi Miller Weil, the wife of Ben H. Weil, have been requested to write about my father, Dr. Ignatius Miller, Rabbi of Temple Berith Sholem of Louisville, Kentucky. It will be a brief biography followed by a few personal experiences which will help give a better picture of the man. My father was born June the 10th, 1857, in a small village in Austria-Hungary. He was prepared by tutors for the Roman Catholic Gymnasium, which he went through with honors. During this time, in conjunction with his studies, he was also tutoring. In fact, he had been tutoring since the age of 14. Then to Breslau University, where he entered the rabbinical seminary and also studied at the university there. He then went to Berlin, where he studied at the Hochschule für die Wissenschaft des Judentums and also at Berlin University. While there, he received a call to go to Leipzig as a religious teacher and also studied at the university there. Then, at the invitation of Isaac M. Wise of the Hebrew Union College in Cincinnati, Ohio, he came to the United States to teach Bible and Talmud. He had his PhD degree from Berlin University when he came to the United States. After teaching at the HUC, he received the degree of rabbi. According to the 1954-55 catalog, he was the first to receive such an honorary degree in 1885. And none other was conferred until 1942. His first position as rabbi was in Kalamazoo, where he also taught German, Hebrew, and Latin at Kalamazoo College. He then went to Des Moines as rabbi, but also taught German at the Highland Park Normal College. While there, he belonged to the Prairie Club, a literary club comparable to our Filson Club. After occupying these two pulpits, he came to Louisville in 1895, where he actively occupied that pulpit for 29 years, the pulpit of Temple Berith Sholem. He was then made Rabbi Emeritus. He died September the 6th, 1925. Reminiscing is both delightful and emotional. Going back to the time when my sister Ruth and I were children, our father would take us on long, pleasant walks. Sometimes we would go to Cherokee Park, sometimes Jacob Park, sometimes just along the city streets. It was then that we would be tested on what we had learned in French, German, and Hebrew. We would conjugate verbs, describe nouns, and learn generally. The beauty of the environment would be pointed out to us, and history was always part of our jaunts. Oh, what a historian our father was, and how beautifully he imparted it to us, the Grecian, Roman, Jewish, and American histories. Even though he was born in Austria, America was a land he chose. As he said in a 4th of July speech, which I shall always remember, it was a land he loved and talked about, its freedom, a land for all people. These walks always ended in a practical way. We would stop in a fruit store and purchase fruit to take home to mother. My father loved teaching, and he loved to continue learning. His PhD was the gateway to additional information. I remember when Lewis Mann was a student at the Hebrew Union College and came regularly during his vacation to study Talmud with Father. They studied for hours in the hot summer weather, and my sister would make lemonade to take to them to refresh them a bit. I remember that my parents always had the entire confirmation class for Seder. When one of these former confirmants was in Europe during the war, he was called up to the Torah to say the brocha, blessing. He wrote to my father to let him know what a satisfaction it had been to him that he was able to recite the prayers in Hebrew. The Seder symbols were prepared by my mother, and the guests were so impressed. The Haggadah, the customary Seder service, was participated in by all those present. The prayers were read, the songs were sung. A week of weeks followed, and it was confirmation day. My parents called on every one of the confirmants, 12 or 14 annually. We had no automobile in those days, so that meant streetcar transportation from here to there. Great distances, something which we of today cannot conceive. During the period of my father's rabbinate at Temple Beth Shalom, I must boastfully say we had an excellent religious school with a very fine faculty. And the remarkable part of that faculty was the fact that the teachers taught for my father without remuneration, which was a unique situation. And they were qualified teachers. In time, as my sister and I became qualified, we joined the ranks. At this point, I should like to give recognition to one of my father's most valued teachers, Edna Grauman, who became head of the reference room at the Louisville Main Library. Our entire family has cherished her friendship. My father did not limit his activities and interests to the temple alone. He was very much interested in the Federation of the Jewish Community, known as the Jewish Welfare Organization. I can remember on occasions when strangers arrived in Louisville, some of whom had inadvertently been misdirected or could not be understood because of a language barrier. He would get a call from the railroad station personnel. He would then go there, and if the situation could be straightened out right then and there, fine. If not, he would contact the Jewish Welfare Organization, and that organization would take over. My father belonged to a literary and historical organization that is in existence today, the Filson Club. Information concerning it can be found at the public library or at the Filson Club building itself. Three individuals whose names are well known in this community and who were dear friends of my father come to mind. Louis Dembitz, uncle of Supreme Court Justice Louis Dembitz. He and my father compiled the prayer book that Brith Sholem Temple used for many years until the Union Prayer Book was adopted. Rabbi Adolph Moses, with whom my father exchanged visits frequently, and Rabbi Joseph Rauch, each of these individuals held a special place. Dr. Rauch assisted my father in officiating at the wedding ceremonies of my sister and myself. And to go one step farther, the diploma given my father when he became rabbi is in the home of his granddaughter, who married a rabbi, Robert Schur of Fort Worth, Texas.
Can I ask you a question about the prayer book?
Did I say anything about his death?
No. Can I take a minute while you want to go on there?
I must have said it here.
Oh, yes, you did. Yes, you did. You did come.
Did I say died September the 6th?
Yes, you did.
I know I said he was
you
born,
did.
But I
you
didn't
did.
Know whether.
I want to ask you about the prayer book that your father
Yes, but
write.
I want to tell you something, and I'm going to get up on the ladder again. That prayer book was in use here years and years and years. And I thought, and I know, that I have a copy of that at home. And I can't, and I there's only one place where it could be. But I'm going to get up. I have to get up on them. I just didn't get it down if it's up there. But I'm sure that I've got the copy of that prayer book.
Oh, my. Is it all in English?
Oh,
part in English?
It's in English and Hebrew.
There's no German.
Oh, no.
But you did tell me earlier that when your father. I know that when Brith Sholem was first formed.
Oh, I didn't tell that, did I?
When Brith Sholem was first formed, I know that all the service and the sermon were in German. And Hebrew. But when your father came, it was part German and part English?
He had sermons in English, and he also had sermons in German to satisfy those people because their members were German. I never had that in
But the prayer book that he helped to write was English and Hebrew.
The prayer book was never anything but English and Hebrew.
Well, now, the original one was German, wasn't it?
It may have been, but I don't remember that.
Yes,
that
was, probably before his time.
Yeah, but it was not during my father's time.
No.
That I really know. Well, let me see something. I just don't. But I don't think I have that.
I remember that I asked you if you remembered where Rish Sholem was, where the temple was located, and you said on First Street?
The original one, which I do not remember at all, was on First Street. And I can tell you more about that. But the next one, of course, well, you would know that, was Second and College.
Do you remember when they moved there? I don't. Was it while your father was rabbi that they moved to Second Street?
I don't know. I've got a book at home that maybe would help me on that.
The book, the history book that I had when you came to talk to my class that has your father's picture in it? We ought to look. I think that...
I have that. I started to bring that book, but I didn't think it was necessary. I think that maybe it's in there.
When it seemed to me that... I don't remember. It seemed to me your father had not been rabbi very long when that book was printed. I think it's interesting that your father had such a close relationship with Rabbi Moses and with Dr. Rao.
It's interesting, isn't it?
It says something about our community.
It says something about the individuals. I mean, that there wasn't any friction.
Yes.
You know, which I think is important, really, I do. Because some of these rabbis, you know how they are. I mean, just like other people, the competition sometimes is... But you see, Father was interested in knowledge and getting knowledge and imparting knowledge, and I mean he and the friendship for his people. Now I could have told you this too, but it's too much. He had, when we married, Ben and I, some people from Des Moines and from Kalamazoo
came.
No, they didn't come. They sent gifts though.
Oh, isn't that lovely?
Can you imagine such a thing?
Sure.
I thought it was beautiful.
I mean, no, sure, that's lovely. I can't.
I thought it was beautiful.
That is lovely.
You know, I think those things are just remarkable. But there was never any jealousy in Father. I think he was too big for that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think he was much more interested in improving the mind and the religious attitude and so forth. I really do. But I just, I don't know where that book is, and I'm going to, I mean, there's only one place it could be, and that's in our library.
I would love to see it if you can find it.
I've got to find it because those things aren't thrown away, and
no.
So it. But I didn't want to get on. See, I get up and don't tell my family, but I get up and Ben nearly died when he heard that I got up on ladders by myself. You know, when the girl isn't there, I get up, but I don't know what can happen to me. I just don't feel.
Well,
that
maybe one day I'll come by and get up on the ladder. You can point to me and I'll get up.
Well, I think, but and Maddie wouldn't be able to help me much because she. She wouldn't know what to do with me.
Wouldn't know what she was looking. Tell me, you told me one night we were having a preliminary conversation that your mother was also such an influence on your life.
A tremendous
influence. And you only mentioned the Seder, and I
she doesn't belong in the religious aspect of it.
No, but would you share with me some of your...
Oh, mother was a wonderful person. Oh, in her own quiet way, she was remarkable. She could have brought down... I can't tell you the trouble she could have brought into a community if she hadn't known how to conduct herself. And some of the members of the congregation would come. She would hear these conversations. But she would never participate in them, but she would go back to my father and tell him what was what. And then he would know how to handle it, you see. And she was, she was just a remarkable person is all I can tell you. And she was kind to people, you know, and she participated in everything. We used to have in those days, not in my day, but in my mother's day, what they called sewing circles. The women would gather together and sew for the temple. And mother never missed a time. She was always there, and she really wasn't. Now, I made clothes. My mother didn't. My mother just encouraged me in it, you know. But she did do beautiful handwork, and she participated in that, you know. In fact, she did when I married, when Ruth married, she did a great deal of the embroidery work for us. She was clever like that, very clever. But those things don't fit in here, don't you see?
Well, no, I'm interested if you felt as a child or remember feeling as a child that perhaps behavior was expected of you that might not have been of your friends because you were the daughter of a rabbi.
No, I can remember Marie when I wanted to put this in, but these are, I just didn't think the people would be that interested. Anyway, it's too personal. These are things that people, well, but they wouldn't be interested in this. I don't know that they're interested in what I have here.
I think so.
You may be, because you and I are friends, and that's that. But I know when there would be twilight, we four would be together, and Father would tell us stories, and Mother would participate in these things. Well, it was great. You don't have time for those things these days. Everybody's all on his own. The kids are doing this and so forth. You know, it was just a little different, that's all. It was beautiful. And as I said, Father would take us on them. But I've never forgotten one thing. When we would go to summer resorts in this every summer. And I never will forget one time. This was a very lovely place in West Virginia. And when my father would come into the room, this man was a colonel in the army. Funny how you bring out these things to me. This man would arise when my father came in, and he would leave when my father came in. Finally, I observed that, and I couldn't understand it. And he said, to such intellect, I want to applaud, and this is my way of doing it.
And he stood out of respect.
He said, I stand out.
Isn't that beautiful?
Wasn't that wonderful?
That was beautiful.
And I also remember the kids really loved Father. It's the kids at Sunday school. They felt, you know, they didn't stand in awe of him. They loved him, really. And the kids would want to walk up and down with him before Sunday school, you know. They'd want to get early so they could take his hand and walk up and down with him. And this Tolstein girl, you know, I don't know whether she's still living even. Hugo Tolstein's sister, is she still living?
I don't know.
Well, anyway, my father had been to Europe and he brought a black straw hat. I never will forget that hat. And it had a little bit of a crown to it, just a little bit of one, you know. And he wore that to the picnic, Sunday school picnic. And this little girl said, Dr. Miller's got on a lady's straw hat. They felt perfectly at ease with him, you know. It was really, it was a beautiful, the children adored him, that's all. And he loved children, and he would tell them stories. And he was a marvelous father to us, and my mother was really, I think we were blessed with two great parents, that's all I can tell you.
That's beautiful.
It's a wonderful feeling to have, really, you know, so.
That's beautiful. Did you ever experience any anti-Semitic acts or problems with being Jewish, or was Louisville perhaps an easier place to be live and be Jewish in your childhood?
Well, we really never did to any extent.
It's the reason I ask is it sounds like your father lived in more than just the Jewish community.
He
had contacts. You say he was a member of the Filson Club.
Now, we had some friends who lived across the street from us who were non-Jewish people who were very friendly with us, extremely friendly. And every Christmas, the first time he did it, we didn't understand what it was. He gave us, Ruth and me, each a bill at Christmas time. And we...
A dollar bill?
Yeah, we thought it was counterfeit pay money. We came home, we showed it to Father. See, they called us over to see the Christmas tree. See, that was our relationship with these people.
That's
they
right.
Called us over to see the Christmas tree, and we saw it was beautiful. They were very wealthy people. And I still know this, the daughter, she has moved to Indiana. But anyway, we were very, very good friends. And after we saw the Christmas tree, he gave Ruth and me each this bill. We thought it was counterfeit. We came home, and Father and Mother looked at it, and they said, this is real money. You know, no one had ever given us money like that. You know, we weren't used to accepting. We were told never to receive, to accept money, you see. But with this man, it was okay, you know. And then I'll tell you another thing. We had friends. In fact, I still know I still go to see this one person. She comes to see me. We would exchange. They would bring to our house baskets for Ruth, a basket for me, a basket at Easter time with the candied eggs and the other colored eggs, you know. I mean, our relationship was really very, very nice
in Louisville.
And then also when the Second Presbyterian burnt down, it was at the corner of Second and Broadway, and we were Second in college, you see. My father offered that the temple for them to worship in.
Do you remember when it was?
No, we were children then.
Yeah, so it was quite, you know.
It was many years ago. Uh-huh.
And did they use the Frischola?
Uh-huh.
Till they could get new facilities?
I don't know how long they used it.
But they did use it at least.
Yeah, I'm quite sure.
A time or two.
Mm-hmm. And
that was lovely.
Uh-huh. And I don't know. There's so many little things that come up that you...
Do you remember, because I just was... Dr. Waller was in the confirmation class the other day talking about... the use of the term Hebrews as in Union of American Hebrew Congregations, whereas now if we were forming that body, now we would probably say Union of American Jewish Congregations or Union of American Reform Congregations, but we don't really use the term Hebrews to apply to ourselves now. Did your father refer to the congregation as a Jewish or a Hebrew, or do you remember? Did he use the term Hebrew to refer to Jewish people?
No, I don't think that he did. I mean, I think he referred to the Hebrew more as a language.
Yes.
Rather than, although I can't speak for my father, you know.
Did your father know Isaac Mayer Wise?
Oh, yes, he did. I told you they...
He invited him here, but you didn't, did you ever meet him?
No. I told you about.
We were born after that.
But he was my father. I told you received the degree of rabbi from the HUC, and Isaac M. Wise is one of the signatories.
Do you have a copy of that?
No, Raleigh has that.
In Dallas, uh-huh. He Fort Worth, I mean.
Uh-huh. And I told him that I had put that away all the time. I have a storage place in the basement. And all those things that I think are valuable, they're going to have a great time when I die. All those things that I think are valuable are there. And I thought that was valuable, and I asked them, and did they jump at that? And they have it framed.
Well,
and
I
they have
think
it
so.
In their living room with their good art.
Well,
it is good art.
Of course it is.
You know? So that's, and really, and Bob falls right in with the feeling of my father and my mother. It's beautiful. He just felt, of course, I think he's special anyway.
Well, I think that he's carrying on a tradition, and that's
nice.
Yeah,
it's very, very nice, you know. It makes it nice for me anyway, and it makes it nice for Raleigh, because Raleigh's always been very close to, she's always been something special to
Does
her.
She have any sisters or brothers?
She has two brothers.
And what do they do?
Well, one lives in Cincinnati, and the other one is the one, no, I didn't tell you, I told them. I think that he was in Memphis, and he's just been, had a most complimentary offer for, and I cannot think, it's right outside of Tampa. Oh, I get so mad when they just been rid of their, not Carl Gables, Clearwater.
Yes.
Clearwater. And he had this offer to come to Clearwater. He's very much interested in nuclear medicine.
Oh, he's a doctor?
Yes, he's a doctor.
Oh, my.
My husband adored him, really. He thought he was something special. I guess he is. I don't know. But anyway.
You haven't told us anything about your husband and what he did. Would you like to?
In this?
Yes.
I thought this was supposed to be my phone.
Well, it can, but I thought you might, because the next question I'm going to ask you is about your friendship with Rabbi Brazil. And I thought you've told us a little bit about you and your background, you haven't mentioned a thing. And you might just like to mention.
Well, I would love to, because I thought he was something really special.
I know you did.
And my parents thought he was something special. Now, he went to Brith Sholem religious school. He was confirmed there, even as I was, you know, and some years previous to that, of course. And I thought he was really an outstanding individual and had great recognition from his from the company with which he was connected. And in fact, when he, I guess this is, when we would go to conventions, I tell you, I had the most gratifying experiences, because the people would say, when they saw us approaching, you know, here comes Ben Wilde, here comes Ben Wilde, as though when he came, everything was great, you know. And of course, I felt when he came and they said that, that everything was great.
You haven't told us what kind of conventions.
Oh, well, he was in the tool business.
Okay.
And now those, of course, you probably wouldn't be interested in that, but the Plum Tool Company was a very outstanding tool company. And since my husband died, they merged with Ingersoll Rand. And if you look at the big board, you will see Ingersoll Rand on the big board.
I'll have to look.
It had been the Pendleton Tool Company on the board, too. And anyway, he had really beautiful recognition from them, and I have some tributes that were paid to him at the time. And when he died, some of the members of the concern came down to the funeral, you know.
Oh, which what an honor.
I didn't know they were even coming. And I saw them at the undertaking establishment, you know. I was so pleased to think they had come. I thought it was the most complimentary thing, you know. It was really great. And when we would, yes, it was a tremendous tribute. And the president, and at one time the president came down and for a derby. He and the vice president, both, and one of the vice presidents, came down to the derby. I never will forget this. We had a beautiful time together. And luckily, Ben had gotten some great seats for the derby. I didn't. When they said that, when he invited them to come down for the derby, I said, honey, how could you do such a thing? We don't have tickets for the derby. He said, don't worry, I'll get them. I didn't see how he could get them. I was really nervous about it, because if you don't have seats for the derby, it's just ridiculous, you know. Well, sure enough, he did get seats, and they were at our house in for the meals, and then we went on out to the derby and so forth. And we had a great time all the way through. And these were our friends, you see. It was really on a very, very personal basis. And you know it must have been if they came all the way from Los Angeles down to Louisville to be with us. And then they went, we are buried in Cincinnati. We have a family plot with my sister and her husband. And
it's okay, go on.
And they came down, they went to the cemetery with us.
Isn't that lovely?
It really is.
And I want you to tell me, because you told me a little bit on the telephone, that you and your husband were good friends with Rabbi Brazel, who didn't immediately follow your father as rabbi,
no.
Although he did a very short period of time,
Rabbi
about
Rosen
a year.
Did.
Well, he was only there about a year or so, I
think.
So,
a short time. I don't know.
And you said that you and your husband were such good friends of Rabbi Brazel, and I think, you know, if you'd like to share any of your remembrances of him, that might be nice.
I don't know what remembrances to share with
well,
him,
if,
except that we were very good friends. We were together socially quite often, and now, I haven't seen his wife for some time. She hasn't been to Louisville, to my knowledge, in a long time. But we remained friends for a long time. And from the very beginning, we became friendly.
What kind of person? How would you compare him to your father as a rabbi?
I wouldn't compare him. I don't compare anybody to my father.
Okay. That was dirty.
That was a
dirty
pool,
wasn't it?
Bad question.
Okay. I really was not talking about quality. I was talking about style.
I wouldn't compare him at all. I just, my father was in a different category. In
okay.
He, first of all, he was always my father.
Okay. Let's, then forget that question. Let me see if I can ask it another way.
Well, wait a minute. I wanted to tell you something more about my husband.
Oh, so I'm sorry.
The relationship between him and my parents was something too beautiful for words. In fact, I used to say that I was the outsider in the family because he was really a very unusual person to them, and they were very unusual to him. They were really like as though they were his second parents, because he had good parents too, and he was like their son to them. it was really beautiful. It was great. That's all I can tell you.
That's lovely.
Yeah, that's what makes it harder when he's gone, though, too.
Of course.
Maybe it's better this way. I'm sure it is.
Well, it was nice that he had that kind of relationship.
And he had that feeling for that, my whole family. And as far as that's concerned, this is the one who's a physician that I told you about. I've never seen a relationship like that between a nephew and his
uncle.
It's beautiful. And all these kids would come down and spend time with us. And that was that.
I want you to tell me a little bit about Rabbi Brazil, if you can remember any anecdotes or...
Oh, he always had anecdotes to tell himself. He did. Did you ever know him?
No, I never did.
Did you ever see him?
I have no recollection of him, only than hearing about him.
I don't know what to tell you. He was a great storyteller. And he was a great... I liked him very much. I tell you, he was the kind of person who... there were certain people whom he enjoyed being with, I guess, and others he didn't, you know, and we happened to be among those whom he really enjoyed, and we enjoyed him, and it was a nice relationship. That's all I can say. It was more than just that between a minister and his congregant. It was a real personal friendship. Very personal relationship.
Right.
And I really wouldn't know what else to tell you.
Okay.
But I do know that after they moved away, Haskell, their son, would come to visit us whenever he came in town. He was a very good friend of Essex.
Erwin Essex?
No, the Armand Essex.
Oh, he was. Oh, his son. I guess.
I said
Erwin was probably a contemporary of
Dr. Zell.
He taught me. I was very fortunate. I'm supposed to be interviewing you, but as long as I'm not going to be interviewed, I should let you interview me. When he taught me in Sunday school, and we had an unusual year. My confirmation year, there was no confirmation class preceding ours. For some reason, there were no students that year. So he taught the confirmation class, Dr. Essex. So he taught our class for 2 years, which was... And it was right, as a matter of fact, in the second year of my confirmation, in the year of my, I actually was confirmed, he became ill that year. And, you know, he died a year or two later. But he was a joy as a teacher.
I'm sure he was, because he was a very, very bright person.
Yes.
I started to say in this, but I didn't think it belonged there, that my husband was confirmed by my father.
Ah, that's nice.
I think it's nice, too.
That's nice.
And I'll tell you too, when we married, after we became engaged, he brought the confirmation piece with him and showed it to my father. Isn't that nice?
That is lovely. And you said that
he had a great deal of feeling.
Rabbi Moses helped your father officiate?
No, Ralph.
Dr. Ralph? But that must have been very unusual.
Well, I told you that my father...
But, I mean, I imagine that was quite a thing.
I don't want you to put in and close this off because I want to care.
Like you to tell me about where your wedding was, though.
My wedding was at Temple Beth Shalom.
On 2nd Street.
Uh-huh, and my sister was a maid of honor, and my husband's brother was the best man.
And Dr. Rao officiated.
And Dr. Rao and my father officiated.
That's lovely.
And the choir performed, you see. So it really was a pretty wedding. Of course, I thought it was a great wedding.
I'm glad you did.
I'm glad it ended that way, too.
You said the reception was at home. Tell me what happened when Dr. Rao came in.
Oh, and the dinner was held at my parental home. And, of course, Ben and I were there to receive the guests when they came in. And we had the family and a few close friends and the entire religious school faculty.
Oh, that's lovely.
And, of course, Dr. Ralph was there. And when he came in, he kissed me and congratulated me, and he said, I always kiss the bride.
I think that's lovely.
Thank you.
Where'd you go on a honeymoon?
Chicago. That's where I always wanted to go. Not, I didn't even want to go to New York. I wanted to go to Chicago.
Was that a common place to go for a honeymoon?
My sister went there, too. I guess it was. I don't know. And she went, I guess it was.
That's
we went to New York, actually, but that wasn't it. The point is, I wanted to go to Chicago. Isn't that funny how you have ideas? Because I've been to Chicago before, but I just wanted to go to Chicago. So that hotel isn't there anymore.
Well, some of them that were are,
that's
and that
right,
shouldn't be.
But I told you my sister was a maid of honor. And her
yes.
And my brother-in-law was a... Oh, and... Augusta Seligman. Do you know whom I mean?
No.
Well, do you know who Joseph Seligman was? Well, Joseph Seligman was one of the most prominent attorneys in this city. His wife was a cousin of ours. And his daughter, Augusta, was my flower girl.
Oh.
And she was precious. Just adorable.
Did she live here?
Sure, she was a little girl. She was a flower girl.
Did she marry?
They moved to New York. She moved to New York. She and her sister Lucy. Did you ever hear of Lucy Schneider? Well, anyway, they moved to New York. She just recently died. Augusta recently died.
You mentioned something about Louis Dembitz and Louis Brandeis.
Louis Dembitz was an uncle of Louis Brandeis.
Yes.
I want to tell you, if I were an artist, I could draw a picture. I was a little girl, but I could draw a picture of this Louis Dembitz, because he was a peculiar-looking individual and had very bad eyesight, that I remember. But he must have been a very unusual person. I tell you, because he and my father were good friends.
What about Louis Brandeis? Do you remember
him?
No,
I never saw Louis Brandeis.
Never saw him?
No. Never.
Well, he was, I thought he lived in Louisville. Perhaps my timing is off on him. I had
he may have. I don't know.
You just don't recognize.
I don't. But I didn't think he.
I may have had my time.
I think maybe your timing is I won't say wrong, but different.
Yes.
I don't know. I really don't know.
But you do remember Louis Dembitz, who was his uncle.
I don't
uncle.
Remember him really, but I just.
You have a picture of him.
I have a picture of him. You know, when you hear about people so often, you. Formulate a picture, you know, but as far as Dr. Rapp is concerned, I really know, you know, and as far as who's the other one we mentioned?
Rabbi Brazel.
Brazel. Oh, of course, well, we were friends, so I knew that. There was another one.
I'm trying to see if your father perhaps died really before the Zionist movement started. And I was wondering, so that he would not, I was...
Oh, no.
It was 19, when was the first Zionist conference?
I don't know, but 1925 he died, and that was not... No, because he was not a Zionist.
That's what I wanted to ask
That's
you.
That's right, he was not a Zionist.
Yes.
No, that I know.
Yes, okay. I was trying to see if there was a time frame that I could connect
there.
But
you can connect
it was quite common. Of course, you know, it's interesting. You know, there's a new American Reform Zionist organization.
Yeah,
that
but that then there was the organization for American Judaism way back there. And he was not as...
There was an anti-Zionist.
That's right.
Was
uh-huh.
he part of that group?
No. But
no, he was
not,
the one that was neither.
Yes, uh-huh, but he was not a Zionist.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was quite common, mm-hmm. of course, and shows the influence of the State of Israel, I suppose.
Yes.
I'm sure were he alive
now,
today.
Uh-huh. I could be a Zionist today if that meant being in favor of Israel, because I think they're having a terrible time now. Really,
yes.
Very much concerned about them.
It's interesting the change, though, in the
American
reform.
Council for Judaism.
That was it. Yeah. He was not a member of that.
No.
Your father. Well, I think it's interesting, though, and you and certainly I in my lifetime can see a change in Reform Judaism.
Oh,
I'm sure,
yes.
I'm sure that you can.
Oh, yes. But I think, things, the whole world is so different. I don't know, you know, I could never say what my father would feel now.
No, of course not. Because but was it common when you were a child for all of the children in the Sunday school to learn Hebrew? I know you learned Hebrew, but was that because of your father?
No, that was just a question of whether they wanted to or didn't want to. For instance, if you're saying that, we had the Hebrew classes on Saturday before Temple, and there were just very, comparatively, very few children who went to Hebrew school.
Were bar mitzvahs common, or were there any in the
There were more bar mitzvahs than there are now.
Well, no, now there are quite a few.
Well,
when I was a child, there were almost
none.
Yeah,
I was going to say, I'm...
That's what I mean, it's gone full circle,
I think. That's
what I meant,
it's gone full circle, because years ago, there were... My husband was bar mitzvah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that it was common when...
Yeah, it was common years ago.
And then we went to a stage...
That's right. Then nobody was, it seems.
And well, I remember when Stanley Garfine had a bar mitzvah, and I think it was the first one in the congregation in years and years and years.
Well, not many.
And he was my age.
Well, not many. But, and then they suddenly they've begun again. And I think another thing, I think there were fewer over at Adith Israel. And I remember when I can't think of his name, this attorney of whom I went to his son's graduation at bar mitzvah. Oh, he's so active in the communal affairs, Jewish affairs.
But in any event, so that it wasn't as common. Well, then it must have been very unusual if Hebrew wasn't studied by many children. I imagine that those who studied it primarily were boys.
I'm not going to say my husband's bar mitzvah because I really just don't quite remember that. He was confirmed, though.
Yes. Well, let me ask you a question. Of those who studied Hebrew, were the majority of them boys?
Yes.
So it was quite unusual for... Girls,
yes,
as
was,
you
yeah,
and your
uh-huh.
sister learn
yes.
Hebrew. Did you learn Hebrew?
No, Ruth didn't just study it as much as I did. I studied a little bit at home, and I'll tell you, I studied, my father had someone, one a student of his in the class, came to their home, and I studied with them sometimes. I loved languages, you see. It didn't make any difference what language. I think if Sanskrit had been a spoken language, I would have studied that. Loved languages.
But let me ask you a question. Did you learn to speak it or just to read, to speak it and understand it, or speak it? And when you read a prayer in Hebrew, do you understand what you're reading? Or is it a matter of just reading the prayer and being familiar with the Hebrew? Can you translate Hebrew?
I could to a degree years ago.
Yes.
I couldn't now.
Yes. Okay. So, but when you did learn it, you did learn what you...
I did
you
learn
were...
translation. Yes. Uh-huh, I did. But that was years and years ago. I mean, you have, you know, same thing. I used to speak German beautifully. But after all, as I said to someone, you have to have the practice. You know, when these new Americans came over here, that was one of my strong points, that I could talk German to them.
And during the Second World War?
That I could talk German to them. And they were so appreciative. And it made me feel so good, you know, that I hadn't forgotten it completely. But then, now you see, now I would go back to where I was before. And while I think I can make myself understood, it would be grammatically incorrect and a few things like that, you know, but nothing that I would be proud of. Now, my father was a really elegant German speaker, just elegant. But I was never in that class.
Where was your mother born? I don't believe in
the
same place.
In the Bruxelles, Germany. In Germany.
And she was born in Germany.
Mm-hmm. And she was 5 years older when she came to this country. Came to New York, 5 years. So she really was completely Americanized.
Where did she meet your father?
Here. My father was a rabbi here at Temple Beth Shalom, and I know you've heard of Gus Rosenberg, the undertaker.
Mm-mm. Here in Louisville?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He preceded Herman Meyer.
I didn't know that.
Well, in fact, Herman Meyer worked for him, or with him, any way you want to word it, and he succeeded Gus Rosenberg. Gus Rosenberg was married to a cousin of my mother's. The Rosenbergs had my father stay at their house. I guess you would call him a boarder there. I don't know, because see, he came to this city and didn't know anybody, and so that's and they were willing to, for financial an amount, he was stayed there. And and this cousin of ours, this cousin Gusta, he was Gusta, she was Gusta, and cousin Gusta invited my mother to come and visit. I think she must have had that in mind.
You think she was a matchmaker?
And he did fall in love with my mother. My mother was pretty, though, really. She really was a pretty woman. And he, I don't know.
Who did you get your red hair from?
My mother had auburn hair when she was young.
Oh, really?
And then it turned blackish, you know. But anyway, I never thought of that. Then they fell in love and they got married. And what's more, now when they got married, they had this cousin of ours had the dinner at her house for my mother.
Who? But you do you know who married them? I wonder if it was Rabbi Moses at out of Israel, or did they import a rabbi?
Wish you hadn't asked that question. I just don't know.
Well, that's something you might think about. Would you have their wedding, their marriage?
Just a minute. I ought to know that. Maybe Isaac and Wise did. I don't know. He could have easily. But I'm not positive about that. I don't want to mention any names because I'm really not positive. And there's no one whom I could ask.
You don't.
And I'll tell you something cute. Now turn this off. There's nothing to tell. It just has a history of the old timers from here, you know.
Yes.
And really, it's very, very interesting. I should have brought that. But
did you know many of them?
No. They were really... They were really
but some of them were contemporaries of your father's. That's the reason I asked.
Yes, one of them was that I happened to think of. Oh, no, I'll take that back. There were a number of them, I guess, who were. But I never knew them. But anyway, that's okay. You're right. Mm-hmm. But I had this one book, and that I cherish. I don't want anything to happen to that. I guess I'll leave that to somebody, shouldn't I?
Well, I think there are copies of that because I had a copy of that book. From I think the Bureau Library here has a copy of the Jewish History of Louisville. It was right around the turn of the century. You said one of them in there you knew. Do you remember?
Yes. No, I didn't know them, but I heard so much. You know, so many of these people I have heard about. For instance, at a table at dinner time, every now and then my father and mother would mention names, and of course I had gotten to the point where I felt that I knew some of these people, you know. Now there was a name in that book, Hilp was the man's name. Now his daughter taught for my father. Now that, you see, I hear all these things, but mm-hmm. I don't really mm-hmm. didn't, I didn't know her though. I didn't know Miss Esther Hilp. In fact, she used to be a guest at Seder time, my mother and father. And she used to give the kids as rewards little fancy bows.
I remember you said that it was unusual when you got the dollar bills for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
How did you celebrate, and that it was unusual to be given money. How did you celebrate Hanukkah in your house as a child?
Oh, always. We had to, that was really something we looked forward to. First of all, we always had a little money. And when I say little, I mean a little. We had Ruth and I had, and we'd go in town and we'd buy gifts for mother and father and for each other. And then the first night of Hanukkah, after we lighted the light, we alternated. Every night, every other candle was lighted by one or the other of us. And we said the prayers, and then we exchanged these gifts. And we had gifts for our parents and for each other.
Every night or just the first night?
No, just the first night, because we didn't spend that much money. But they and of course they gave us nice gifts. We had little from our allowance. We took our allowance for that purpose, you know. But we went, we were serious about it. And I want to tell you right now, up until recently, Raleigh and Bob, I'm sure, do that. I mean, most, I think it's a pretty light. I have a candelabra that my father brought from Europe that is beautiful. It can be the tall one, or it can be separated and made into a lower one. And we used to use that all the time. There, it's a beautiful thing, I think, because I'm really very sentimental about these things. I mean, I guess these things mean something to me. I was brought up right there, you know.
Sure.
So anyway, but we've always observed Hanukkah. And in fact, when the kids at school would be talking about their Christmas presents, Ruth and I would talk about our Hanukkah presents. See, we were smart enough, we didn't want them to know that we were being left out of things, so we would just talk about our Hanukkah presents as though they were Christmas
presents. Where did you go to school? Do you remember?
What school?
Yes. What's
in Louisville?
In Louisville.
Brooklyn, Kentucky. We had marvelous teachers. We really did. We had good teachers. Very good teachers. And when the weather was bad, very, very bad, we had a friend who was in the grocery business. And I bet your mother would know who these people are. Did you ever hear the name Garfine?
Which Garfine?
Morris Garfine.
Sure.
Well, his wife's parents had this story.
Oh, Mayor.
Yeah.
Sure. Stanley Garfine was where I went to.
Well, this is Louis Mayer, though. This is their parents. And they really carried fine food. Fine foods. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're
they were
really
lovely people.
They delivered to us regularly. You know, mm-hmm. She'd call up in the morning, Mrs. Mayer, and say, to get the order from my mother. My mother was the first person she'd call in the morning. And my mother would give her the order. Well, anyway, when the weather was very, very bad, they would use their truck, and Louise would be in the truck, and they'd stop by and pick up Ruth and me and take us to school in the truck.
Oh, that's wonderful. Where did you live as a child?
At Floyd and Jacob.
Floyd and Jacob. So you didn't have too far to you could walk to Temple, Floyd.
Yeah, you could walk to Temple, but it was a...
To Brook.
Well, we did walk to Temple.
It was only 3 blocks. Or 4 blocks?
Was that 4 blocks? So we did walk to Temple. And most places were within walking distance in those days. Not everybody had the car. Very few people had cars, comparatively speaking. It wasn't anything. Anyway, we liked to walk to school. It was fun. And we would sometimes, when the weather was good, there'd be several kids meeting, and we'd meet at the corners and walk to school together, you know, come home together. It was fun. And at recess time, you know, we jumped rope and did all that foolishness. But
you said you took Hebrew lessons on Saturday morning before service, mm-hmm. but was there Sunday morning Sunday school? Was
sure.
When the religious school was always on Sunday
always
morning?
On
the Hebrew
Sunday.
Lessons were, uh-huh. that was just the special uh-huh. Hebrew.
And then I want to tell you something. There were some kids who were very much interested in Hebrew, and they would meet at my father's house in the afternoon after school. And we'd have Hebrew lessons.
And he would give uh-huh. lessons uh-huh. then. Did he teach, was he the one who taught the Hebrew on Saturday morning? Or did you have a special Hebrew teacher?
I had both, depending on the class.
Uh-huh.
But he did teach the Hebrew too. But he also, now when it came to Sunday religious school, he always taught the post-confirmation class he taught. He loved to teach. And he did it well, you know. He loved to teach. And we love to listen to him and have him teach us, you know.
That's beautiful. That's really beautiful.
So, I'm joining council.
Why did you join council?
Well, and my mother said to me, Leontine Furman and I became friendly. And my mother said, now since Leontine is president, this came from my mother, don't you think it's time for you to join council? I said, I never gave that thought, Mother, but I think you're right. So I joined council. And I've been a member ever since. And I've really had jobs, not recently, but I've really had big jobs to do for council. I had charge of the council workshop at one time, which of course you wouldn't know about. It was during the war. And we really did work. That's when these refugees came to town. And I think what was accomplished as much as anything else was a lift of their morale. But they also made practical things the council members bought. And we would have displays. We would have a workshop once a week. And then I would purchase the materials and bring them back for the next week for them to make.
What kinds of things did you make?
And then we would have the sales at the meetings. And we would take orders. When I say we, because I've had several people helping me, we would take orders and have them ready at a certain time. We even had monogramming. There was one woman, Mrs. Frank, she's still living, who did beautiful monogramming. We made luncheon mats, luncheon sets that were lovely, various colored linens with that were hem-stitched all the way around, and had bench lace all the way around with the napkins to match as many plates as you wanted, as many placemats and napkins to match, and we made bread tray covers. And
these were with the women who came?
The women who did it. They were...
These were the German immigrant women?
German refugees.
Right, from Hitler.
They had, many of them could do beautiful handwork. They just didn't have the taste for American things. And that's that was my job.
Mm-hmm.
To have them make things that could be used in our country.
Mm-hmm.
We had made laundry bags, we made shoe bags, we made aprons that were great. We made coaster insets. You know how when you put a glaze down and a coaster, it sticks?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we made little crocheted coaster insets. I said bread tray covers. Serviette and crumber sets. You know what they are?
That's to serve crackers, like, isn't it?
Yeah, but and we made those. They were beautiful. And,
pardon me. Hey, bibs.
Uh-huh. And, we made oilcloth mats and matching bibs. And we had the child's name or even the word baby or whatever it was. And we made covers for the dresses, clothes, and so forth. Now, I want to tell you something. Next time Raleigh and Bob come, I want you and Raleigh to come over.
That we will. Now, I want you to finish telling me about, what other jobs did you do in council besides the workshop?
Oh, then I had charge of the personnel.
Mm-hmm.
And what else did I? I've been on several committees, as you well know.
Well, I know of a half a dozen.
Well, and I'm just trying to think what else I did.
Do you remember when the penny lunch program?
No, that was before my day.
Well, I thought they'd worked on that into the 30s and 40s. Perhaps I was my time was
no,
off.
No, because a penny lunch was at the Floyd and Chestnut.
Oh.
And that school there. And I know I that was really quite sure before my time.
Well, perhaps I guess the school system had taken that over by then.
The biggest job I had really was this one with the New Americans, because it really meant there were so many involved and then so many different things to do. And then I also had, I told you, charge of the personnel. And what was this? I had several other things. I don't know. I keep on doing for, I've been, as I told you, on a lot of committees, one after another. And I like to be on something. I mean, I like to do something. But I'm just trying to think what else I have chaired. I don't know, I'll think about it when I get home. You brought out enough for me that I had no idea about.
Well, I want to thank you. It's been a delight. After we finish the interview, Naomi remembered a couple more things. So we're going to just start right back up again. It's the same day and the same time. But you wanted to tell me about your husband and his business.
Oh, the company made him a zone manager, which was really quite a compliment because there weren't very many in the business. And
was a national firm?
It's a national firm. As I said, it was Ingersoll Rand. And at the time, it was Pendleton Tool Company, but it was merged with Ingersoll Rand since. The tools were hand-forged tools, hand-forged mechanics tools that are considered exceptionally fine tools.
Now, they make them here?
They make them in Los Angeles.
Okay, and so then he was in charge of selling.
He had half a dozen people working under him, so that he supervised these jobs and had sales meetings elsewhere to see that they
was he handy?
Extremely so. He made a dollhouse for for Raleigh's little girl that was written up in the paper here in Louisville. In fact, I have the picture at home.
Oh, that's lovely.
It's a two-story place, electrically wired, and it has a living room, dining area, two bedrooms. The roof raises so that the various tools can be put in there. It has a chimney. It has steps that go up to it. It has a doorbell. It has all the furniture, most of which either I made it or was bought at Marshall Fields. And it's situated on a board which forms a yard, which is covered with grass.
That's lovely. Did he make
it's measured 1 inch to a foot.
Did he make things for the house?
Made a number of things for the house.
I think that's
marvelous. He made some bases for a pair of very fine lamps that I had, and various other things he did for that. He made took a Globe Wernicke bookcase and made it into a whatnot, and took a, can't think of the name of the place in Cincinnati.
You sewed. You were a nice couple. It would have been nice to have been friendly with you when you were both doing, because I don't sew and Ronnie is not handy, and it would have been convenient for us to have been neighbors of yours when you were
both. Well, we had fun together because with the house, for instance, I made the drapes. And it just finished off the things for him, you know. It worked out beautifully. But the thing that was so interesting was the electrically arranged things that he had done. And Raleigh and Bob had it on exhibit when they were in their home, and then Sally played with it afterwards, and now it's put away for whoever gets it next, you know. So with all of its furniture and everything else. I remember particularly well a pair of floor lamps that were miniature copies of floor lamps we purchased from Strassel's. Then made those and electrified them. He electrified the house so that all of it did not have to be lighted at the same time. An actual deed of the house was gotten by Sadie Grohman. Picture of the dollhouse and explanation by Helen Lippold in Louisville Courier Journal.
One last thing is for you to add the other council projects you remember now.
I was chairman of the Bulletin, Publicity, Hospitality, and Retention, and Education. A group from council tutored English at Barra Junior High School. After that disbanded, it was discovered that I sewed, and I was asked to remain in the capacity of assisting in the sewing classes of the Home Economics Department, which I still do. I have been on council's board ever since I have been a member of council.
Naomi, thank you so much. It's really been a delight, and I appreciate it.
And I have certainly enjoyed it also, Marie. You've been great.
Thank you. Mutual Admiration Society.